Are you in Proverbs 4 here? And the hour that we find ourselves in, guys, and these days, I mean, it's a little bit interesting. Since the time that the Lord returned to heaven a couple thousand years ago, we've technically been in the last days. We understand that. And so when people say we're in the last days, we understand we've always been in the last days in context of the Lord going back to be with the Father. So every generation has had that buzz. Now, we need to occupy and keep ourselves busy doing the Lord's agenda. But it does say that as we look for his appearing, we purify ourselves. But, you know, it's interesting. Every generation has always felt they were the generation of the return of the Lord. And there's no way that anyone can have biblical fidelity and try to mark, you know, the date or year. People have tried before, and of course it ended in utter failure. And so no one knows the time except the Father. But there are certain things that happen where you can deduce it seems like we're in the end times of the last days, Israel becoming a state in 1948. There are certain prophetic things that have lined up. But regardless of that, just in life in general and in the practical everyday grind of what we do, I think that one of the things that we absolutely want to embrace and strive for and shoot for that is an incredible virtue and asset is wisdom. Can we say that out loud together? Wisdom. Wisdom in regards to our life. Wisdom in regards to our affairs. Wisdom in regards to our relationships, our business, our ministries, just all of our affairs. Wisdom in view of the times that we find ourselves, things that are breaking open on the world scene, things that are new to our generation. We want to be those that have captured the mind of God. We want to be like the sons of Issachar that can discern the signs of the times. And it is available for the believer, and it's not necessarily a given. You can be saved and be lacking in wisdom. And if I ask for a show of hands of those that have experienced that in your own life, or you know someone that you would just feel the temptation to say, I know exactly who you're talking about. But at any rate, we can be saved, but we're growing and developing in this virtue of wisdom. But oh, what we could gain and be spared if we were given to wisdom. Even this morning before I came here, I was cleaning up some things that had to do of a wisdom nature. It's before us constantly. And so it is something to be desired. It is a commodity that we see in Scripture, but it's a rare hidden gem and treasure to be sought after. It's not always a given. It's hidden. The mind of God is available, but you have to press in to download his mind. There is an effort on our part in grace whereby we access the thoughts of God. It doesn't just come just to anyone at any time. So it's a rare hidden gem and treasure, and it should be sought after more than any Indiana Jones conquest or discovery. If y'all followed all the Indiana Jones, whether it's the Holy Grail or the Ark of the Covenant, the mind of God, the wisdom of God is an awesome thing. I've been asked on occasion, how do I get wisdom, or how do I grow in wisdom? And it's a little more involved and holy than merely increasing our reading of the book of Proverbs, although that's a good start. We know that Solomon scripted that book, and it is a book of wisdom. That's a good place, but it's not a silver bullet. But we actually find that the posture of our hearts, interestingly, can determine our level of wisdom or lack thereof. So who would ever think that our hearts would be the key to ascertaining wisdom in the way that God wants us to experience it? One could be academically brilliant, yet still kept from the wisdom of God. In the economy of God, some things draw God in, some things repel him. For instance, we know the Bible says that God gives grace to the whom? To the humble, but he resists whom? The proud. So if we want to be a magnet to the grace of God, then in grace we walk in humility because he gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. I mean, oh, the thought that God would be resisting me. Yikes, what a thought. We don't want him being repelled. We want him drawing near. And certainly together with that, we want his mind, his input, direction, and wisdom breaking in to our experience. You can't buy grace, earn grace. You can even study it and still not grow in it. Yet our hearts are so pivotal in so many areas and matters of life. And again, in the hour that we're living in, church, I really believe wisdom is imperative. These are interesting times. It's not a moment to sensationalize and like, oh, dear me, the times are in. Well, they've always been interesting. Nothing's new under the sun, Solomon said. But yet we're in some interesting times because we're the ones having to live it out. All the more we need the mind of God. We need the wisdom of the Lord. I mean, how many of y'all thinking right now you could use some wisdom in regards to business, in regards to relational issues, in regards to ministry situations, maybe wisdom in regard to finances or this challenge that's before you or a situation you're just not quite sure how to approach it and how to discern it? Well, I think it's available for the pressing in. But again, our hearts are so pivotal in the mix. Wisdom can be a mystery, but we can also crack the code. It's a mystery, but it's not to be a mystery to the point where we're intimidated to go after it, where we're discouraged to go after it. It's the glory of God to hide a matter. It's the glory of kings to do what? To search it out. And so God will conceal something just because he wants to see, do you really want it? Now, he will easily allow himself to be found by you and I mean, it's like the parent hiding from their child playing hide and go seek. And how many of you know that if you're a decent parent, you will let that little toddler find you? That's just wrong. That's child abuse, not to let that little child find you. So many times, how many of you like me, you hid behind a seedling? You know, it's like, come find daddy, ready or not. You know, and they're coming out, and you got your belly going out in one way, and you're just letting them see, you know. And they're like, there you are. Well, God, in one respect, is like that. Yes, he's concealed certain truths, but he's saying, I just want to know that you want it enough to begin the pursuit of inquiry, and I will give it. But I am looking at your heart, and that's why everyone is not saturated with the mind and the wisdom of the Lord. So there's something wisdom is, there's something wisdom is not. The great Charles H. Spurgeon once said, quote, wisdom is the right use of knowledge. To merely know is not to be wise. Many men know a great deal and are all the greater fools for it. There is no fool so great as a knowing fool. But to know how to use knowledge is to have wisdom. End of quote. We could say for all practical purposes this morning, wisdom is knowing the mind of God. It's knowing God's mind. For you see, he is wisdom incarnate. He is wisdom incarnate. So let's begin the quest with a couple of things. We begin the quest with acknowledgement that we need it and desire, showing that we want to go for it. Acknowledgement, I don't have it, but if I ask, can I get it? And then desire, bless God, and all of my getting, I'm going to get it. Hello. How many of y'all just love being in the dark? How many of y'all just love being clueless and you're the last to know about something? Did you hear about such and such? No, I didn't know. You know, it would be fun to be on the front end, would it not? And the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. So we acknowledge the need and then we express the desire to get it. So are you in Proverbs 4 here this morning? All right, here, the wisdom of this chapter, and in particular verses 5 through 9, here the author said, get wisdom. Can we say that together? Get In other words, there's a role on our part to go after it, get it. And I mean, yes, it may appear to be a little bit evading us, but if we want it, we can get it. If we want it, we can have it. I can't tell you how many times I just happened to be praying and God just happened to speak to me something significant when I just happened to be pressing in. I mean, it's so coincidental how many of those times have happened. Now, obviously, we can't manipulate God to speak, but we can posture ourselves, Lord, if you have anything, I want it, and dignify Him to say, I'm going to wait long enough to try to get it. Amy and Rebecca last week said we were out, we were trying to talk some people. Some were open, but some were resistant, until finally we just stopped and said, let's just wait and see if the Father has a word. And as they paused, as they waited, and as they backed up for a moment, God began to drop in their heart, this young man here, he's losing his mother, et cetera, et cetera. They went, gave the word, it broke the yoke, led him to the Lord. There is a very real benefit to dignifying the Lord and waiting to say, God, is there something on your heart? In Isaiah, they chided the prophets where they said, you ran out and you prophesied, but I did not send you. But had you stood in my counsel, I would have given you my mind. So then, if I will acknowledge I need it, and then if I will get it by the desire and the pursuit of my heart, it's attainable. So here, he says, get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Wisdom is what? Supreme. Can we say supreme? Maybe we have it like number 5 or 6 or 7. According to this, no. Wisdom is supreme. You may have a body of knowledge. You may be well studied. But if we don't apply that knowledge properly, then it doesn't pay off and benefit us at the end of the day. Wisdom, therefore, the ability to apply that knowledge is supreme. Therefore, what? Get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Esteem her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will set a garland of grace on your head and present you with a crown of splendor, a crown of glory. You've heard before the mantra, membership has its privileges. Well, wisdom has its privileges. You see, it's possible to be saved and at times foolish. It's possible to be saved and even unwise. We want to be saved, quote, in our thinking and in our decisions, just like we're saved in our hearts. We want to grow up into wisdom. So the million-dollar question is it available? The answer is absolutely, and thank God for it, absolutely available. We start by asking for it. By asking for it. See, asking reveals a holy dependency. Asking reveals humility and a lack of pride. By my asking God for His input is telling God, I don't know everything. You do. Therefore, I'm willing to subordinate myself and ask you, what's your counsel here? What's your heart on the matter? Matter of fact, prayer in itself is an act of humility because you're basically saying, I cannot do it in my own strength, so I'm appealing to one who has greater power and greater ability, and God honors that, and He gives grace to the humble. It's a wise thing to ask for this, a smart thing. James, in the book of James, urged the early Christian Jews to ask for wisdom. And although writing in Greek to Hellenistic Jews scattered everywhere, James' burden arose out of the situation of the early church in Jerusalem. He knew they needed wisdom based on the times. They needed breakthrough in multiple areas. They were beset by trials and temptations at every turn. In James chapter 1, if you'll go there, in verses 2 through 4, James deals with trials. But then it transitions based on that context into verse 5, where James then therefore says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should what? He should ask God. Everyone say, ask God. Go figure. Sometimes people say, you know, dear Lord, you know, I've tried everything else. You know, I might as well pray. Do that on the front end, you know, versus the whole winging a prayer thing. Go ahead and try that on the front end. Any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who is stingy and withholds and is just leading you on and just, you know, tantalizing you. No, what does it say? Ask God, who does what? Gives how? Generously to all without finding fault, and it will be what? Given to him. So here we discover it's merely for the asking. Again, I can't tell you how many times God has broken in when I just happen to be praying, when I just happen to be asking or prayerful or worshipful. Many times minding my own business in worship and talking to God about one thing, and he starts speaking to me about another. I told y'all about years ago, I'd been in prayer for about an hour or so, and out of nowhere, God says, I'm preparing you for marriage. It's Elizabeth Muldrew. And then, I'm like, dear Lord, what's that got to do with the price of egg? I'm just talking to you about other stuff, and then you're breaking in here and just kind of changing the subject. How many of y'all wouldn't mind if God changed the subject on occasion? You know, but the point was, I was just in there, you know, before the Lord, and my agenda was God and to honor God and to relate with God. But he had some things on his heart. Just like you would want to communicate with your friend when they've come into something. You know, he wanted to download that. Many times we hear God so clearly in bed at night because we've stilled ourselves for the first time after a hectic day. But I'm talking in one direction, and all of a sudden he begins to download, you see, something else. He wants to give it. It's for the asking. I know your prayer is going to go up today, those that think, all right, I got this thing done. I pray. Here comes a mate. All right, very good. Prayer life just went up 100-fold. All right. But there are things that they'll just come. They'll just drop. You'll be praying one way. God will give you a nugget, a word of knowledge, not all-consuming knowledge, a word of wisdom, not all-consuming. He'll give you a nugget, a key for the issue, a piece of the puzzle to move in that illumination in the moment and season you're in. But the whole time he wants you pressing and asking. He just loves it when we ask. We're thinking, I don't want to bother him. No, he wants it. He wants that relationship. You're not bothering him. He's got all these goodies. And he's like, just press the button of prayer. Ask so I can release some of this. My arms are getting full here, you see. If any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God. Ask God. Ask God. James goes on to unpack the God kind of wisdom versus earthly wisdom in chapter 3. Let's go down to chapter 3 of James, just a couple of chapters over, starting in verse 13 here. Here James declares, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, and sincere. So here the author, here James is contrasting two kinds of wisdom. How many of y'all know that there is human wisdom, human ingenuity, human cleverness that'll never unlock the secrets of heaven? Do we realize that? There's man's attempt to try to make his way through life. There's man's attempt to try to figure it out, even to be pleasing to God apart from grace and apart from Christ and his cross. But there's a heavenly wisdom that comes in the form of a gift. And so this qualified wisdom from heaven comes from the Greek word sophia. It's spelled like Sophia. Sophia, in an ancient Hellenistic literature, it denoted a quality, not an activity. Sophia implied unusual knowledge and ability. It was thought to be the possession of the gods alone. Earlier, we had mentioned that wisdom could be defined as the mind of God or the mind of the Spirit of truth. Oh, how we want this, how we need this. James could have used the Greek word philosophia, which referred to rhetoric and the ability to dispute. He could have used the word techna, which referred to art, skill, or craft. I mean, the early church could certainly use more talented people, could they not? He could have used the word friend, P-H-R-E-N, a reference to cleverness and intellect. I mean, certainly the early church could use more intellectuals, could it not? Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones' wife once said of a certain prime minister, he is clever, but he's not wise. There's a difference. Wisdom from above implies there is such a thing as wisdom from below. Now, wisdom from below is not only earthly, but actually here, it seemed a little bit dramatic here, but it could actually be somewhat demonic. Back in verse 14, it talks about earthly, this wisdom from below. It talks about how it sprung from bitter envy and selfish ambition, and it denies the truth. In verse 15, it said, such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and what? Of the devil. Why is he being so dramatic here, James? Why so dramatic, James? Pipe it down. He's just saying there's a difference in wisdom from above and wisdom from below. Wisdom from below is self-serving. Wisdom from below is crafty. Wisdom from below has self at the core versus the purpose of God at the core. In verse 16, it says, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find what? Disorder and what? Every evil practice. James, why so dramatic? Pipe it down a little bit. He's trying to draw the contrast here. There really is a difference. Just like when we read about those that said, we don't put our trust in horses and chariots. Well, horses and chariots are a real key to victory in an ancient army. But our trust is in the Lord. God always does more with less. God always loves the David and Goliath scenario. God always loves it when we don't use mere natural methodologies and appeal to God and watch Him do something that we would declare to be a miracle for His honor and for His glory. But there are two kinds of wisdom here. One, you cannot get apart from God, like Simon the sorcerer thought. You cannot buy it. The wisdom from above, church, it's actually a gift from God. It's a gift. It's given and released by God to us. How do we know which wisdom is which? Well, again, verse 17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven comes from where? Comes from heaven. You see, it's a gift. It comes from heaven. It's a gift. It comes from God. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is, first of all, what? Pure. There's a quality about the direction of the Lord and the voice of God, and it's hard to articulate it other than it's clean. It's pure. It lacks mixture. It lacks strife. It lacks self-promotion. There's a purity, and only walking with God do you detect that which is pure. That wisdom, that word, it feels pure. There's a purity to it. It's first of all pure, then it's peace-loving, or another translation would say peaceable. Many times people will say when they're praying about something, and I'm sure you've heard it, well, I felt a what? I felt a peace about that. And that's not a total silver bullet, but it could be one factor in the mix. I felt a peace. Well, the wisdom from above, it's peace-loving. It's peaceable. There's not strife. There have been times where things have been on our plate and there was a push to do something, but yet there was that unsettledness. There was that sense of you would have to strive to do that. It's like that's going to take a human ingenuity or a human sweat. And the priest in the old covenant, they wore linen because they were not to sweat. See, the Lord is the one that builds. The Lord's labor is what we're looking for. We enter into his labor. But there's a peaceable quality about the wisdom from above. It's pure. It's first of all pure. And it's peaceable. It's also considerate, not self-seeking. It's so funny, especially when you get around politicians, how they can get into just word gymnastics and the rhetoric. I mean, there have been times before people have been arrested and they'll make comments, yes, mistakes were made. Like, mistakes were made. What person are we speaking in? Or, yes, I have suffered some unfortunate, you know, da-da-da-da. And then you start feeling for them. It's like, was that an admission or is that a justification? You know, it just, you know, the straining on the gnat and the swallowing the camel, you see. But heaven's wisdom is considerate. It's deferring. Just like David read out of Philippians 2, there's an honoring, there's a deference, there's not a self-seeking. It's clean in that way. It's also submissive. Go figure. It's not pushing its way forward. It's submissive. You know, there's some things, it's like, you don't want to push forward because it's like, if it's not God, you wouldn't want it anyway. Hello? If it's God, he'll allow that thing to come up time and time again. And even if you test it with the test of Genesis 22, put in the Isaac down, if it's of God, it'll pop up. It'll just keep, it's like this thing just keeps coming up. This thing just keeps coming up. That's the kindness of God who's resurrecting that, you see, and who's bearing down on that. But it's submissive. It's full of mercy. And again, these are tests. It's full of good fruit. It's easy to judge based on the fruit. We judge a tree how? By its fruit. Not its method, but by its fruit. Does it yield the peaceful fruit of righteousness at the end of the day? It's also impartial. And James was writing this because in chapter 2 of James, they were showing favoritism to the rich. Remember, you sit here, oh, he's got a gold ring. Sit here, do this. And they were sinning the sin of partiality and favoritism. Well, here it says the wisdom from above is impartial. And it says that it's sincere. So true wisdom, biblical wisdom from above, does not begin with intellect, education, fame, wealth, or talent, but actually begins with a virtue, something called the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Can we say that together? The fear of the Lord. The wisdom from heaven begins with the fear of the Lord. Psalm 111:10 reads, the fear of the Lord is the what? Is the beginning. You want to say, how do I begin? How do I find it? Well, here's how you begin. Here's how you kick out of the blocks. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. Proverbs 9:10 reads, the fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of what? That's what cracks open the door. So that's why I was saying earlier, our heart posture determines our level of wisdom or lack thereof. Who would think that? We would think if I just read one more book, if I can just be a little clever, if I can beat the system, No. The posture of our heart determines the level of our wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord teaches a man what? Wisdom, and humility comes before honor. So, number one, we ask. We ask. Let's say that together. We ask. Secondly, we learn of and grow in the fear of the Lord. Let's say that together. The fear of the Lord. So we ask and we embrace the fear of the Lord. So if we've not asked, let's start asking. Ask, knock, seek, that he might be found. And then we need to learn, well, what is the fear of the Lord? What does that look like? I encourage you to get in your Bible, do a word study on the fear of the Lord. What does that look like? We can start by even asking for that. Teach me the fear of the Lord. I want to tremble at your word. This is the one to whom I look, the one who's contrite of heart and who trembles at my word. Now, this is not a dreadful fear in the scared sense. It's a respect and an awe and an admiration, and that helps us to walk clean and pure in that way. But guys, this is doable. We can ask, and we can learn to walk in the fear of the Lord. Again, the fear of the Lord is cultivating a right heart, which is a qualification prerequisite of godly wisdom. People would do anything to get knowledge of the future. Anything. Remember in the Reagan years, Nancy, remember they talked about how she would even consult astrologers? There are people like anything they can do. How can they determine the stock market? They would do, there are those that even get illegal inside trading information. They end up having a prison ministry if they get caught. But, you know, there's all this kind of conniving and striving, you see. You can't buy it. You can't negotiate it. We can't manipulate ourselves into getting it. Friends can't give it to us. Political favors won't produce it. Books won't give it. Study won't produce it. Striving won't get it. Being smart won't cut it. God gives it. God gives it. It's a gift. It's hidden, and He releases it. He releases it when we ask and operate in the fear of the Lord. Only God can grant His hidden knowledge. It bypasses the brain, as it were. He grants it by revelation as a gift. Wisdom is also separate from other things we may or may not have in God and in our walk with the Lord. Here's one distinction we can look at. In the early church, remember the choosing of the deacons? There were certain criteria, but one trait was distinguishable from another. Again, meaning you could have one trait, but not necessarily the other. In the choosing of Stephen, we read in Acts 6, 3, it reads, "Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and," what? "Wisdom." Now, that's interesting to me there that there's even a distinction. See, that presupposes one could be truly Spirit-filled but still not have wisdom. Are we here? He said, "I want this and I want this." Sometimes immature zeal consumes wisdom. It may even be well-intended, yet still unwise or immature. And so having one attribute may not result in another. There's a brilliant apologetic, by the way, with IHOP's Mike Bickle on talking about, and I think it's entitled, the YouTube Manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Powerful, powerful, wise apologetic in the way of good housekeeping wisdom. But pride is the biggest deterrent to the wisdom from above. Proverbs 11:2 declares, "When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom." Well, Stephen had this wisdom. Before he was stoned to death, it was said about his detractors, verse 10, that they could not stand up against his wisdom or the Spirit by which he spoke. Powerful. Oh, for the mind of God. Oh, for the ways of God. I think God relishes the thought of our earnestly asking Him for wisdom in the fear of the Lord. I know God likes this. I mean, just look at how He treated Solomon when he asked for it. It's a good thing to do. It's a smart thing to do here as we come to a head. 1 Kings 3, verse 5. Y'all remember the scenario with Solomon. Remember, he had the dream. But it wasn't merely a dream. There was an actual interaction with Solomon and the Lord in the dream. But it says, "At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, 'Ask for whatever you want me to give to you.' Solomon answered, 'You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne to this very day.'" All right, so now he's beginning his reign. There's been a plan of succession here from David to his son. and he's got this empire to rule, as it were, this kingdom to rule, rather. And so he's thinking, I'm a young man, dear me, I'm going to need some help from God. So he said, now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I'm only a little child and I don't know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? The Lord was what? Pleased that Solomon had what? Asked for this. So God said to him, since you have asked for this and have not asked for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for. That's the thing about God. You're going in one direction, he comes in another. For both riches and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. But if you walk in my ways and obey my statutes and commands, as David your father did, I will give you a long life. See, it's a smart thing to do to bring God in on the scenario. Remember, David would go to war, and David was, he was a booty-kicking warrior. He knew how to drop someone quite easily. And so he would get ready, and he'd say, God, are you in this? I'm in it. Go ahead. Pow, pow, bim, bim, bow. Lay him out. The other times he'd come out, here come the Philistines. God, are you in this? I'm not in it. Oh, okay. God, are you in this? Well, when you hear the rustling of the sound of armies mushing, you know, going through the tops of the mulberry trees, then you'll know it's time to break out. In other words, he had the ability, human wisdom. He had the ability and the ingenuity, wisdom from below. But that doesn't mean just because he thought he had a handle on it, it was God's will. So he would pause. God, are you in this? I'm in this. And then he's the wind to your back. And then there's that confidence. This isn't a good idea. This is a God idea. I dignified him with waiting. You say, well, what happens if I ask and I don't hear anything? Well, just move on the revelation you have. I mean, Isaiah says, truly, thou art a God who hides himself. Even his hiding is a form of communication in certain seasons. But he's honored by the asking. That's the key. He loved it when Solomon did it. It's like, Solomon, you are smart to ask for this, son. You could have asked all this stuff for yourself, the wisdom from below that's not full of mercy, that's not considerate, that's not pure, that's not peaceable. You could have had your own vested interest in mind to deal a death blow to your enemies and puff yourself up, and it could all be about you. But no, you cared for the people. You cared about my heart. I am pleased with this, son. And because you did that, I'm going to give you all this other stuff. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all this other stuff that the Gentiles run after. I'll just give you that as a freebie. You pursue me, I'll give you the stuff, but you just set your forehead like flint to go after me. You see, we're blessed if we find the wisdom of the Lord, guys. We're blessed. It pays off in so many areas. It's not natural, though. True wisdom, it's not natural. It's not one's IQ, intellect, cleverness. It all comes down to asking and the fear of the Lord. It's costly, yet free of charge. We will not find it unless the one who has it gives it. And according to James, he loves to give it. Just shut your eyes right now and just say, he loves to give it. He loves to give it. He loves to give it. It's a sovereign gift. God withholds it from the man with the PhD and gives it to the lowliest person on the planet if that person fears the Lord. For the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. It's the glory of God to hide a matter, the glory of kings to search it out. It's somewhat of a secret, and we can't find it unless the one who has it gives it. The good news, again, he wants to. He wants to. Let's stand on our feet. So we go to him. We go to him then. This is very practical. It's not meant to be ethereal and mystical. It's where we live day to day. It has to do with our relationships, our just daily practices. It has to do with the times we're in. Interesting times. Are these the end days? Oh, yeah, they always have been. The We're probably on the back side of the end days, probably. Proverbs 3:13, blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. Blessed, that's for us. That's for us. Just begin to pray in our hearts. Just think of the issues that are before you. They could be a little intimidating. Don't have to be, because there's a God in heaven. David said, I'm harassed on every side, but I'm a man in prayer. But I'm in prayer. And just as you're contemplating stuff you need God's direction for, I love Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. I pray it quite often, which says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. So just consider now where you need it. Relationships, people, David mentioned this morning, family situations, business, decisions, ministry, discerning the times, finances, world affairs, even the mundane yet critical decisions. The Holy Spirit can give us in the moment what we need. He can give us in the moment what we need. Lord, right now we ask you, we want to be wise enough to ask for wisdom. We want to be humble enough to ask you for it in this hour. Lord, we ask you for that for our lives, our families, our business affairs, our spiritual walk. Lord, we also ask you for wisdom on how to interpret the signs of the times, these days we're in America. Teach us how to pray for our government. Teach us how to vote. Teach us, Lord, what the real issues are. Give us a gift of discernment to look past the rhetoric, to discern motive and heart, and to have a right perspective of what's going on in the earth today. Lord, we ask you for wisdom, that we'd not be left to our own devices. We ask for it, and we say yes to the fear of the Lord. That's the beginning of it. Yes to these things, that all may go well with us in life and in our world, our family, our business, our ministry, our nation. Lord, we won't be intimidated because we're going to ask. You're not a God of confusion. Hallelujah. How many of y'all believe today God wants to help you? How many of y'all believe God's a good God? He's not stingy, but James says, no, he's generous. He longs to give it generously if we ask him. Hallelujah. Can we just honor God and just say, Lord, just thank you. Thank you. Thank you for wisdom. Thank you for input. Come on, let's just stay in this just for a moment. Thank you for direction. Thank you for counsel. Thank you for instruction. Thank you for discernment. Thank you for understanding. Lord, all the things where we don't know, where we're in the dark, we thank you for your breakthrough in that area, in Jesus' name. Before we go, just turn to your neighbor. How can I pray for you? Just turn and just see if they have a prayer need, and then you can be dismissed. If you're here, you don't know the Lord, we want to pray for you today to come to know the Lord Jesus. God bless you.